Romans chapter 8 in your Bibles with me tonight. I want to read my text and I'm going to pray. Romans 8 and beginning with verse 1 through 5. We're looking at the ministry of the church continued in another message, and this deals with God's purpose and plan for the church in our ministry. Romans 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Father, as we bow our heads before you, we're very aware how dependent we are upon you. We ask for your intervention in this prayer list that we've read out tonight and called out people's names and circumstances. People trying to get well after strokes, people who have cancer in all degrees and levels, some who aren't given a lot of hope, and some who are on medication that keeps it beat back as a maintenance. Lord, there are every need on here is important. It's important to the family of the people who have it. It's important to the people who are hurting and need your help and your comfort. And so we call on you as your children, and we bring our needs and petitions to you, and we lay these people before you and ask for your help. We ask for your comfort. We ask for your healing. We ask for you to make a way for these folks if they have needs. We pray that you'll strengthen them and encourage them tonight. And Lord, bless your people that have come out for the prayer meeting tonight with the thunders rolling in the background. We pray that we'll learn from the Word of God, and it'll be a blessing to be here tonight with one another as brethren. So speak to our hearts through the Word, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Think back of a time that God has protected you or made provision for you when you had a need in your life or when something happened and you were unexpected. I was in Bible college with a couple who were rushing to Georgia because the male student's brother had had a heart attack or something, it could have been the wife's brother, but one of them had a heart attack. And this couple that we knew from Georgia jumped in the car after class and took off to Georgia. And they were going down the road, and they were following a tractor trailer, and it was up the hill and down the hill and around the curves, and they couldn't get around them. And they finally came to a stop sign, and the tractor trailer turned out, and his wife grabbed him by the arm and said, "We did not pray before we left." And so they bowed their heads and started to pray, and the car behind him started blowing the horn. He rolled the window down while he was still praying and waved them on around him. That car went around him and got behind the tractor trailer where they had been. They finished their prayer and got back on the road, and just a little ways up the highway, that car was off the road in the ditch where another car coming the other direction had gone out of control and hit that car that was behind the tractor trailer. And I believe, if my memory's right, I believe the people in it, some of them were killed. And they told this story at the Bible college when they came back from Georgia, that they were saved because they stopped to pray. And how many times that's true beyond what we even know. God has made a way for Joy and I numerous times as a young couple going into the ministry to pay our way through college and to move there, move back, start a church. There have been many times financially that God supplied needs that we didn't know how they were going to be met and took care of our children. And we've had times where we've been in the emergency room just like everybody else praying that our child would be okay. And one of our boys had blood in his mouth, and we took him to the emergency room. They kept him in the hospital overnight. And they thought it could be something as severe as leukemia. It turned out he just bit his tongue really bad. in his sleep. And so we were very thankful, but there's been times where serious things have happened. Look at Romans chapter 8, if you would, while you're there, and look at verse 28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. So God uses the tests and the trials and the hardships of life that we go through to help shape us and mold us and make us to become more like Christ, to be conformed to his image. Christ is the one perfect man, and he's our Savior, and God would have us to be like him. Back in Psalm 121 and verse 3 through 8, Psalm 121 and verse 3 through 8. Says, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Originally, of course, that dealt with the nation of Israel, but God looks over his people. And the point I would make to you is God is never asleep. God's always available. He's always awake. You can call upon him at any time, and he can take care of us and watch over us with divine protection and divine provision. And clearly, all who love him and serve him, he takes care as they're his children. He will watch over them and provide. The specific callings of people in the ministry, those who serve the Lord. I'm not just talking about pastors and missionaries. I'm talking about people in church who are faithful and love the Lord, and they teach Sunday school, and they serve as a deacon, and they work in the church. When people are faithful to the Lord as a witness in their neighborhood and community and show other people how to be saved, God has a very definite reason for keeping them around. We remember the Apostle Paul's life and how he was shipwrecked in an island, and he went to gather sticks for the fire as the people there who did not speak their language, they were barbarians, they called them, barbarous people, they gathered up sticks and took to the fire, around the fire where the people were. And Paul had a serpent in the gathering of sticks, and it fastened itself to his arm, and he just shook it off in the fire. Well, the people looked at him, and what they thought was, this is some kind of murderer, terrible criminal. He escaped being killed at sea, and now God is going to destroy him. But instead, they saw he suffered no harm from the snake bite. God preserved his life. So then the next thing they wanted to do, they thought he was a god, and they wanted to worship him. Well, that wasn't right either. That's what happens with people's reasoning sometimes. But the Lord was providing for Paul and took care of him. And he provided them, no telling how many times they drank water that was not 100% pure in any way, and they were often hungry and traveling and shipwrecked and all these kind of things, but yet God provided for them. We still serve the same God today who took the 5 loaves and 2 fish from the lad and broke them and multiplied them and fed over 5,000 people with them. And he can provide for us. He can feed us. He can supply our needs. He can keep us safe. God has a purpose for us to obey his word and to walk daily with our God. Look in Ephesians 1, verse 5 through verse 12. I've got too many paper clips in my Bible. Ephesians 1, 5. having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the blood, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. So the Lord has provided a way for us to walk with him daily and to please him and to follow his will as well as his word. And if we are followers of God as dear children and we walk with the Lord in the light and not in the darkness of the society in which we live, then he has a reason to protect us and to keep us around. We can be followers of God, and he will work through us, and we will do his will. And 1 Corinthians 3:9 says God allows us to be co-laborers with him in the work that he has called us to do. The work of man's redemption is God's plan for the Bible, God's plan for the church. The redemption of man is taking place. And we don't see a lot of it happening at one time, but God sees the whole picture from the beginning to the end. And we are co-laborers with him in what we are doing. God's on the throne ruling over the universe, and nothing happens outside his knowledge. Not even a sparrow falls to the ground that God doesn't know about. He said even the hairs of our head are numbered. Now, I don't know why God would number the hairs of a man's head, because most of us lose them all anyway. And even if you don't lose them all, you lose some, and the rest of them turn colors. But you know, none of that happens without the knowledge of God, and he's very aware of every bit of it. He's the creator of man, the sustainer of man. He's the sovereign, supreme ruler, meaning in rank and authority, he is superior. And we're being transformed into the image of his dear son. When twice God spoke from heaven, when Jesus was upon the earth, when disciples or others were present, John the Baptist and the disciples, James and John on the mountain, he said, "This is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased." Now, we are unworthy servants at best as humans. We're the dust of the ground. And we fail all the time. We struggle with the battles of sin and our attitudes and all those things. But the Lord Jesus Christ always pleased his Father, and he would have us to become more and more like him. We're being transformed into the image of Christ by working in us and through us. And you're a child of God, and he has work for you to do. There may be something that only you can do. There may be people you will know that I'll never know, or others in the church will never know, and your witness to them may make the difference in their going to heaven or hell. You're a child of God. He wants you to discern this by starting first where you are. In other words, you don't have to wake up one day and have a nationwide ministry laid out before you that you're supposed to do. You're supposed to just start where you are. The first thing we're all to do is just be faithful to the Lord. Be faithful to go to church. Be faithful to study the Word. Be faithful to pray. And as we grow in our knowledge, God will open up ways that he may use us more. If a need arises in our church or in a connection to your life with your family or your neighborhood or your job, be willing to help. Be willing to see if there's something you can do to serve the Lord in that relationship. We have people who go into assisted living and nursing homes and all that sort of thing. And I have a friend that's used to be a member of this church many years ago who is now living in an assisted living home down at Myrtle Beach. I texted him this afternoon. I try to text him once in a while, let him know I'm praying for him, give him an update on how the church is doing, talk to him about my garden. He likes to hear about all that stuff. He's amazed how much I can work. And I'm amazed, too, that I can't do a lot more, you know. But I'll tell him about cutting the grass and plowing the garden and doing some stuff like that. He'll say, I just can't believe how much you work, you know. So he has gone into the nursing home or assisted living. He called me up and he said, Preacher, I wanted to run it by you. He said, they have a little old church service here. He said, I'm still going to the church down the road, Independent Baptist Church here at New River, down near the coast. And he said, but I come back and they could have a service every Sunday. They don't have one, but like once a month. And he said, I'm thinking about volunteering to do something, like teach a class or something, you know. And I said, yeah, you'd be great at that, brother. If you can sit down and prepare an outline for that, something to teach, then just volunteer and go ahead and give it a try. Well, he contacted me back within a week, and he'd led two people to the Lord, and they were meeting together. And I'm sure they've invited others now, and they're trying to have a meeting of a discipleship with these people. He could have said, well, I'm too old, or my life for that kind of thing is over. Somebody else can do it, or something like that. But he stepped up to do something, and God has blessed it in a tremendous way. And a lot of folks can have ministries outside the church in other ways. It may be in the community. It may be in the nursing home. It may be like Miss Nanette in a five-day Bible club in her community in the summertime that she has done for many years. Miss Diane has helped her. And Miss Diane wasn't here tonight. She secured that Miss Gwen could play for us, and I appreciated her doing that. Diane was packing up her classroom from school because Friday they're going to move all her stuff and the other grades for the younger ones over to the used-to-be Rosewood Elementary School that Westminster has purchased. And that's where Westminster School will be for the elementary grades starting in the new year. So Diane has helped Nanette. We've helped her a little bit, you know, from me and the others and Joy and the church a little bit, but mostly Nanette's done it herself. And a five-day club, and she's had kids get saved. She's had over 20 kids at a time there some days. We're seeking workers right now for VBS. There's still opportunities to help and serve during that week. Tomorrow, they're going to start down this hallway and maybe in here too, hanging some of the artwork that they've been doing in the gym for the last couple of weeks. And a lot of it's ready now, and they can go ahead and start putting it up. So there's areas you could help in doing that. All God calls to minister or missions or leaders of the church or anything of that nature were people who were busy serving Him before that. God doesn't call lazy people, people who just don't want a job and all that sort of thing. They say they're called in the ministry. There's no way God calls somebody like that. God calls people that are busy and active and serving, and then He'll give them more to do. And that's the way that the Lord works. He doesn't ask us to do what's impossible for us to do. He asks us to do what we're able to do because He has enabled us. If He asks us to do something impossible, He'll enable us to do it if it's His will that we do it. He asked us to do things that we can do in service for Him. So we are to be faithful over the little things first, and then God may make us ruler over many things after that. That was the way it was with the parable in the talents. God's divine purpose in Romans 8, 30 through 33. Beginning verse 30. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. Whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It's Christ that died, yea, rather that has risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. Now all creation follows God's plan except man. The fish of the sea and the fowls of the air and the beasts of the field all do his bidding. And God has given them natural instinct. Sue just talked about when the first thunder rolled tonight about her cat would run and get up under the sink even before the storm begins. That it has an instinct to protect itself, to get in shelter. And God has given animals that instinct to be able to provide for themselves and protect themselves. Psalm 19 says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork." God uses nature to give glory to himself because he created it. The moon controls the tides of the sea. There are reasons for that. If the tides were not in the ocean would become stagnant. Rivers run into the ocean, but there's no outlet. So the salt and the tides keep the waters fresh and keep them moving. Man is the one who rejects God's authority. In Isaiah 53:6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Israel forgot God, and the scripture says in the days of Judges, there was no king in Israel in those days, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Friends, I'm going to tell you, people don't worship God today, and they do what's right in their own eyes. They don't want to have the church tell them what to do. They don't want to have God tell them what to do. They want to make all their own decisions, their own judgments, plan their own life, live their own way. But one day they're going to suffer under the judgment of God unless they repent and believe on Christ before it's too late. Judges 17:6 is written down on your outline, and that's also made a second time, said twice. A man yields himself to his own desires. He gets to the point he's unable to control himself. He loses his temper, makes lawless actions. God's extended his invitation to whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. God qualifies the believing sinners by justification, and they are declared innocent and righteous and cleansed and sanctified before God. 1 Corinthians 6:11, it lists all these sins of the flesh of people who will not see the kingdom of God. And then it says in that verse, "And such were some of you, but you've been washed, you've been cleansed, you've been sanctified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." Now this is just the beginning for us. We submit to God and his word and we grow. And as we grow, we become more usable for God. If we read the word, if we pray, if we study, we can be more usable for the Lord. You can be in a place around other people, I don't care if it's a grocery store line or where it is, a doctor's office, and people will talk about something concerning the Bible that you can probably give them an understanding and an answer from the word of God because you know from your study and your faithfulness and your prayer time and your walk with God. And God can use you in that. I sat in a doctor's office one time. It had those big old Bible books and showing a lamb on an altar. And the mother was showing it to her little granddaughter. And the granddaughter said, "Mommy, why does God kill the lamb?" And the mother didn't know what to say. And I said, "Honey, that's to pay for our sins, you know, to cover our sins from year to year. and Jesus died on the cross to pay for our sins. I could answer that for her because I knew what it was talking about. And you could have answered that for her because you know what it's talking about. And the more we learn, the more usable we are for God in our witness and our opportunity to help other people. We submit to God and His Word and we grow and become usable. Romans 8:34, Christ's work on Calvary has made all this possible. Yeah, He died and is risen again. There are four aspects here for believers. Number one, His substitutionary death for us. He died in our place, took our sins upon Him. Secondly, the value of His work is imputed unto us. We are granted righteousness, not because we've earned it, but because of receiving Christ as our Savior. His resurrection, thirdly, secures eternal life for the believing sinner. You get saved, you receive life. It's eternal life. It's God life. And that lasts forever and forever. And then fourthly, He continues to make intercession for us as our advocate with the Father. He's seated on the right hand of God where He makes intercession on our behalf. Now, we still face battles with the world, the flesh, and the devil. Look at John 16:33. Sometimes we think the battles we face are so great that we just don't know how we're going to make it. John 16:33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." Christ has overcome the world, so we're going to overcome the world. 1 John 5:4 tells us it is our faith that makes us overcomers of the world. In Philippians chapter 1, there's two passages in Philippians I'd like for you to look at with me. Philippians 1, 6 says, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." So God's working in us, and He's going to continue to do that. He's not finished with us yet until the day Christ calls us home. Then look at chapter 2 and verse 12 through 15. "Wherefore, my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings." He wrote that verse particularly to Baptist people, "without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." Now, Paul desired this of believers at Philippi, but he desires it of us as well, that we understand God is working in us and will continue to work in us until we die physically or until He calls us home to heaven. And He will use us for His honor and glory. He wants us to do His will. He wants us to do what is pleasing and acceptable in His sight. God will complete our salvation when He takes us to heaven and gives us a new body. But until that day, we still have a battle with the world, the flesh, and the devil. The troubles and tribulations of the world, but be of good cheer. Christ has overcome the world. Father, I ask you to bless your people here tonight for their faithfulness. Bless them on their way home for safety. Bless them this week with their needs met and provide for them, we pray. Lord, we are a needy people and we ask for your help. We ask you to bless us with your strength and your mercy. We ask you to help us with your grace and help us to help others with the comfort that we receive from you that we in turn can comfort others. We give you praise and thanks in Jesus' name. Amen.